From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, a delight to be in studio as we take your questions as they come in from all over the world. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We have an award-winning magazine. It's called the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe to the journal on the web at equip.org. And the current edition, the very new current edition of the Christian Research Journal, I wrote an article on incarnation, answering the question as to whether incarnation is logically incoherent. And what I point out is that the more I contemplate incarnation, the more staggered my imagination. The very thought that the one who spoke and 100 billion galaxies leapt into existence should cloak himself in human flesh is, well, it's unthinkable. To imagine that the one who knit me together in my mother's womb would himself inhabit Mary's womb quite simply boggles my mind. And yet, that is precisely what Christianity proffers. A creator who has revealed himself in creation. Think about the fact that God spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore men are without excuse. But that creator that we can know of through creation revealed himself in incarnation. And thus, God has become knowable. Now, to the Allah of Islam, this is nothing short of blasphemous. The whole idea of incarnation is ridiculed. For followers of the Muslim Allah, the incarnation of Jesus Christ entails, well, it entails the gravest of all sins. They call it the sin of shirk, the unforgivable sin. And thus, while Muslims readily affirm the sinlessness of Christ, they dogmatically deny the incarnation as both insulting to the majesty of Allah and logically incoherent. The question is it really incoherent? While many issues surrounding the incarnation, such as the precise modes of interaction between Christ's divine nature and his human nature, may transcend human understanding, the doctrine of incarnation does not transgress the laws of logic. And it is, as I alluded to earlier, more than intoxicating to reflect on the reality that as Christ is incarnate in the image of humankind, so humanity in Christ is being refashioned in the image of God. As Athanasius of Alexandria, who was widely regarded as the greatest theologian of his time, has well said, he was made man, that we might be made God. Or as Peter put it, that we might partake or participate in the divine nature. This, of course, is not to say that we, though redeemed, possess God's incommunicable attributes. For who among us can claim self-existence, immutability, eternality, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, absolute sovereignty? God is eternal. Humanity was created at a point in time and has but a brief mortal existence on earth. God has life in himself, but man is dependent on God to sustain him. God is all-powerful, but man is weak. God all-knowing, but we are limited in knowledge. God is everywhere present, but we as human beings are confined to a single space in time. And as far from being reproductions of God, human beings are more correctly portrayed as reflections of God. In fact, it is liberating for believers to revel in the reality that in the consummation of all things, God will completely restore the icon in fallen humanity, the imago Dei in us. And had the incarnate Christ not come in the image and the likeness of humanity, there would be no hope for humanity to be refashioned in the imago Dei. This again from my article. The article is in the Christian Research Journal, Equipping You in Doctrine, Defense, and Discernment. If you have not as yet subscribed, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Brian in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Great. So my question, I'm a Christian, first of all, and I accept the scripture where it says, in the beginning, God. The one who has no beginning and no end. My challenge is explaining that concept to my friends who look at things from the perspective of everything has a beginning and more than likely an end. I'm having a challenge articulating that to my friends and family. So just need your help on that. How would I explain to my friends and family that our Creator, the one that we love and regard as God, has no beginning and certainly no end?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first thing that I would point out is the obvious fact that for someone who is an atheist or someone who doesn't believe in God, they are relegated to the notion that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces metaphysical realities like sex and spirit. So they're relegated to a very untenable position. It is true as Christians that we hold to the notion that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. That's true with respect to the created universe, but there's nothing that says that that is true with respect to the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the uncaused first cause. And that is what we posit God to be. So unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. And then to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have had a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. Now, I've also pointed out, and I wrote about this in a book called The Creation Answer Book, I've pointed out that simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion, that it didn't spring out of nothing, and that it has not eternally existed. So the only plausible possibility that remains is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than itself, which is precisely what Christianity posits. So the laws that govern the universe don't govern the one who spoke in the universe, came into being. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I have written about this in some detail in a book called The Creation Answer Book, also a book called The Farce of Evolution. You can find both of them on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants as well. They're standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Will become back with answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
The New Testament makes several unique, exclusive, and well-evidenced claims concerning Jesus, including his true deity, bodily resurrection, and that he is the sole path to salvation. Yet scholars often place world religious claims on a par, while failing to look critically at the historical case for the New Testament writings and events in relation to non-Christian claims. In the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, be sure to read The Historical Uniqueness of Jesus Christ Among the Founders of the World's Major Religions by Professor Gary R. Habermas and Benjamin C.F. Shaw. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant, real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Wrestling with God, Church, and Religion from the beginning of his career to its end, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. Other topics include how to have a civil discussion about abortion, the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Their faith challenged an empire. Their words changed the world. The very words of the Apostle Paul jump from Scripture to the screen in a major motion picture, Paul, Apostle of Christ. To receive your DVD of Paul, Apostle of Christ, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Michael in California, listening on the web. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mr. Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. It's super cool talking to you. I'm a college student here in Rockland, actually attend a Bible college, and I've been listening to you for about 3 years before I discovered who you were, and I've been listening to you ever since, so it's pretty cool talking to you.
Well, it's nice to talk to you as well.
Hey, so Hank, we're in my Bible class, in my Old Testament theory class, we're talking about the Pentateuch right now, and we have to do reading responses on one of the books, and I chose Exodus. And I kind of just wanted to ask you, it's a two-part question. I have an idea of what the answer is, but why are there so many laws listed in Exodus, and what are they meant to accomplish?
Sure. So laws have different functions, and let me give you three of them. One is to maintain order in society. Two is to reveal sin, what is often referred to as the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. And then three would be a guide for the believer in living out the Christian life. Now, obviously, in looking at the book of Exodus and the Pentateuch in general, you see that there are broad aspects of the law. And I like to talk of those broad aspects as civil, ceremonial, and moral. So the civil aspect of the law was largely a function of a theocratic kingdom where God is ruling directly over a people. The ceremonial aspects, they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, for example, dietary laws, no longer applicable in that it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, but that which proceeds from the heart. And Jesus, in saying that, or in having that said, is declaring all foods clean. And then you have the moral aspects of the law, the commandments, such as the Ten Commandments, which, of course, are efficacious for us today, including the Fourth Commandment, which we celebrate on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me go back to the phone lines and talk next to E. Frank in Astoria, New York, listening on the web.
Yes, good pre-autumn afternoon, Hank. And as well am wishing that you come back to WMCA 570 AM New York, the mission. But I'm always hopeful that maybe that is a possibility.
Well, if the Lord provides us with the resources, we most certainly will. We are getting so many requests from people and from stations to air our broadcast. And one of the reasons we've actually changed our broadcast to a half-hour format is it's a lot easier to place. If you listen to Christian radio, you'll find out that most of the shows are half-hour shows as opposed to hour shows. So it is my prayer every single day. In fact, before I come on the radio, that God will provide us with the resources to do just that.
Yeah, Hank, I called this afternoon because I needed some advice in regards to this issue that I'm having with other Christians who share the same biblical understanding and biblical principles. I recently went to a Christian denominational Baptist church, and I said I shared many of their values and that I wanted to share my understanding of Christ with the congregation. And they asked me what I'm doing in their church. Second, if I was actually a baptized Christian. And third, they asked me if I'm willing to be in their congregation for an extensive amount of time. I answered all three questions the way they're supposed to be answered. I said, yes, I want to worship with all of you. Yes, I want to spend an extended amount of time with the congregation. as much as possible, and I'm willing to abide by any of your understanding in Christ. Then they actually told a what they call a eunuch or an usher within the faith in the congregation sermon. During the sermon, they told me that I would have to leave because the minister feels that I'm obstructing any of the denominational Christians' understanding of the sermon. And I said, yes, I'm knowledgeable of that, but I was invited on a pretense basis to worship. And then they said, well, you have to leave. And I said, I will leave, but under, and then immediately.
Okay, so quickly, what's the question here?
The question is it advisable to, and I also asked them if they shared the same understanding within Christian marriage. My question is, if someone from another Christian faith tells you that they share your same values and you share the same values that they do under Holy Scripture, but they refuse to share or try to dialogue on that fact, what is the best advice? Is it you should continue evangelizing and...
Well, I think if you're in a church where they will not dialogue with you, but they are setting legalistic prescriptions that are untoward with respect to the main and the plain things, I think that's a church that has raised many, many red flags already in your mind, and I think those are legitimate red flags. Let me go back to the phone lines. Talk to David in La Crosse, Wisconsin, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. It's nice to hear you on the phone. Hope you're doing okay today.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. My question is, my wife and I are both Christian, and we got her going to college now, and we're transitioning and from one city to another, so our place isn't ready yet, so we're kind of staying in a motel. But this Thursday night, my wife, she's going to have to stay with a friend of ours. Now, this friend of ours is a friend of mine's mother. She lives in the house. But they've got, like, some paranormal activity going on there. And I've never seen it myself, but my wife says that she's seen the cabinet doors open and close and the lock move on the door and stuff, and she's really afraid to go there. And
well, here's the thing quickly, David. Let me say this, that when you look at spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective, and I wrote a book on this called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, the very first thing you learn is that the power of God to protect is greater than the power of Satan to pillage. But oftentimes we get wrapped up in superstitions that we have learned from the media or from movies as opposed to from the biblical manuscripts themselves. And one of the things that people oftentimes believe in is ghosts. But ghosts are the stuff of superstition. The problem, however, is that while ghosts exist only in mythology, demons are more than happy to feed on unbiblical notions. And I wouldn't worry too much except about putting on the full armor of God, because then you're invincible in spiritual warfare. Satan, of course, appears as a cosmopolitan angel of enlightenment, and he knows full well that without the spiritual armor, we are but pawns in a devil's game. But if we lose the ability to think biblically, we will be quickly transformed from cultural change agents and initiators into cultural conformists and imitators, from God bearers, as I like to say sometimes, to ghostbusters. I do want to give the quote of the day. We didn't get to it yesterday for the first time. This quote is by Saint Macarius of Egypt. He was born in 300, he died in 391. He was an Egyptian Christian. He was a monk revered for wisdom. He was a disciple of St. Anthony the Great, who probably all of you know about. And he said this, and I quote, "He who wants to be an imitator of Christ, so that he too may be called a son of God, born of the Spirit, must above all bear courageously and patiently the afflictions he encounters, whether these be bodily illnesses, slander, and vilification from men, or attacks from the unseen spirits. And again, the way you protect yourself from these attacks of unseen spirits is to put on the covering or the full armor of God. Once again, if you do, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. I wrote a book about that called The Covering. It's available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Do remember, you can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And thank you to all of you who are standing shoulder to shoulder with me, prayerfully and financially, in the battle for life and truth. So long for today.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once confessed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. But you can learn how to respond. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, how to have a civil discussion about abortion, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.